Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. A new week begins on this Monday. A new month starts on this Monday. Happy April Fool's Day, April 1st, to everybody out there. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together over the span of the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to look back on the weekend that was. An Elite Eight weekend where the Final Four is now set in the 2024 men's NCAA tournament, and an Elite Eight Sunday with one more day of the Elite Eight in the women's big dance as well, in the national championship game rematch, the game that was promised from a year ago, LSU and Iowa, on this Monday. It was the opening weekend as well, Donnie, of a Major League Baseball season. Raise your hand if you have the same amount of wins as the Houston Astros so far in this MLB campaign. So much to get to on this Monday on the Early Line.
Yeah, a lot to check into, which included we had such a great weekend in basketball, both men's and also women's in the college tournament. It was fun to watch where he stood out an eye on Major League Baseball season. For me, being a Phillies fan, finally nice to get a victory yesterday against the Atlanta Braves without getting swept. But there were some scores that were really interesting. There were some sweeps and some four-game sweeps to maybe keep an eye on as we continue. So big weekend to recap and get the people back into the fold post-Easter weekend.
Yes, we will certainly do that here to start off a new month in the month of April. Has the madness then concluded because March is now in the books? Not if you're NC State. We'll talk about the Wolfpack in just a moment. A historic Elite Eight Sunday for two basketball programs as we welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience here to our opening hour of three, live on a Monday on the Early Line, all across your Sports Grid Radio network. Sirius XM Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. And party like it's 1980 in West Lafayette. For the first time in 44 years, in more than four decades, a proud Purdue program is back into the Final Four behind a 40-point performance and 16 rebounds from Zach Edey. Purdue holds off Tennessee in the Elite Eight to win the Midwest region 72-66. The Boilermakers back into the Final Four for the first time since 1980.
Yeah, monster win yesterday, and also it did come with a little bit of adversity. You saw early on in that game, I believe it was 32-21 Tennessee, and then Purdue really hit the gas pedal here in that basketball game, started doing what they're supposed to do, get the basketball in the Edey, get him fouled, and if not, he's shooting 13 of 21 from the floor for 40 total points. But I did enjoy Tennessee overall because Dalton Connect was so much fun to watch. 14 of 31, hoisting threes all over the place, actually at 50%, going 6 for 12, but 37 points just wasn't enough. Why? Because Zach Edey was able to control everything, including the paint defensively and offensively over the final 5 minutes. A great game all the way through, but I loved what I saw at Purdue. Down double digits, it might go sideways, not so fast. They actually took the lead by the time they got to the half.
A Vols 15-2 run was answered by a Boilers 15-2 run. Edey scored 40 of the Boilermakers 72. Connect scored 37 of the Volunteers 66. both players accumulating more than 50% of their team's offensive production. The Stars out in a big way on Elite Eight Sunday, and that includes maybe the biggest star in America at this moment, DJ Burns Jr. He leads NC State to its first Final Four since Jim Valvano was the head coach way back in 1983. As the Wolfpack have found that March magic and momentum, they have now won 9 straight games. They knock off Duke. NC State wins outright as a 7.5-point underdog about an hour and a half after the NC State women pulled off an upset over the one seed out in Portland. That would be Texas. Both the men's and the women's basketball programs in Raleigh are going to the Final Four.
The only player that showed up there for Duke yesterday, certainly go take a look at McCain. I had him to make a couple three-point shots. He actually made 5 of those, hit a couple late, 11 of 11 from the free throw line for 32 points. You would think that should be enough to win a basketball game, but not the case. You had that 1-2 punch of the two DJs here on NC State. Yeah. DJ Burns Jr., 29 points. You also had Horn getting 20 points in that game. It was a fun game to watch all the way through, and this is what we talk about. When one team hits momentum, like NC State has been, you got to throw the handicaps for a season-long statistical basis out the window. What were they, 17-14 midway through March, and here they are in the Final Four, and who's betting against them? And also, some might say, like, oh no, it would have been so much fun to have Duke in the Final Four. Sometimes you take a look at the team name on the front and say it would be really interesting to have a blue blood there, but NC State, not used to being there, but they have some characters on their team that you can help root on, and my goodness, if you didn't know DJ Burns Jr. yet, you watch this. Yeah, every single telecast is going to lead with him from start to finish, from Monday right up to game time on Saturday.
And he was sensational, 13 of 19 from the floor. Kyle Filipowski hit the gym, brother, because you could not hang with the 6'9", 280-pound DJ Burns Jr. Hey, DJ, that's my DJ. Both of the DJs combined for 49 points as NC State wins outright as a 7.5-point dog, 76-64. South Carolina continues its undefeated and perfect season as the best team in college basketball. Now 36-0. They hold off Oregon State in the Elite Eight to advance back to a Final Four, 70-58. The Beavs do cover as a 15.5-point underdog, but South Carolina undefeated into another Final Four appearance.
It's fantastic. Like the women's game, we'll see what happens today, but that Final Four is going to be absolutely outstanding. And you love to see the big teams advance, which South Carolina did do that, handling their business.
The Gamecocks down -220 to win a national championship on the women's side. We're also in the home stretch of this NBA season. A ton of games yesterday. One streak comes to a close in Texas. Another reaches 7 in a row. The Mavs snapped that a double-digit game win streak for the Rockets as Dallas now has won 7 straight. The Mavericks go on the road to Houston, win by 18, 125-107.
Luka's doing amazing things, even if he does have to travel in order to shoot an underhand hook shot from around three-point range. 47-12-7. My goodness, man. Can you play any better than what he's been doing over the past month?
I don't think so. And the Dallas Mavericks are the beneficiaries of it. We are down in the final 10 games of this NBA regular season in this home stretch. The Denver Nuggets crush the Cleveland Cavaliers to clinch a playoff spot. Oklahoma City also clinching a playoff spot yesterday. But when you talk about Denver, Nikola Jokic late to his presser, DRS, because he was watching DJ Burns Jr. as well.
Yeah, the big man on campus. There's a new one in town here as we rooted on. So you take a look at the Nuggets with a blowout victory and DJ Burns advancing to the Final Four. You got to love to see it here. The big men are dominating right now.
The Nugs win by 29, but Oklahoma City a half game in front for that number one spot in the Western Conference. As we shared at the start, the Houston Astros sweep the Yankees in a 4-game set to open up this Major League Baseball season. We'll have some MLB reactions later in this opening hour. And our producer, Joe Friso, likes tennis. The Miami Open, with all that we saw this weekend, all right, Yannick Sinner and Danielle Collins win the Masters 1000 titles. Good stuff. All right, we're going through here as we look back on the weekend in the Elite Eight. Up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, but we look back on Elite Eight Sunday in the 2024 Men's NCAA Tournament. Elite Eight weekend as well to set the stage for Final Four Saturday night out in Phoenix, Arizona, now just 5 days away. A huge game yesterday, DRS, in the Midwest Regional Final out in Detroit between the top two seeds in that portion of the bracket. Number one, Purdue. Number two, Tennessee. Oh, the narratives and the storylines entering this matchup. Tennessee looking for its first ever Final Four appearance in program history. A proud basketball program in West Lafayette, Purdue, looking for its first trip to a Final Four since 1980. In more than four decades. Matt Painter, one of the best coaches in the sport, trying to get there for the first time ever. Rick Barnes trying to lead the Vols there for the first time since he was the head coach of the Texas Longhorns in 2003. So with all of those stakes, with all of the narratives, Purdue comes through in a huge game yesterday in a big way. 72-66. The Boilermakers cover as a pregame 3.5-point favorite. A closing total at 148.5 stays under. On one side, you had Zach Edey. 40 points, 16 rebounds for the Boilers. On the other side, it was Dalton Knecht. 37 of Tennessee's 66 points. Two first-team All-Americans duking it out for a spot in the Final Four. It was theater yesterday on a Sunday afternoon in the Motor City, but Purdue gets the better of Tennessee, and they're back into a Final Four for the first time in more than four decades.
A couple things I liked here from the Purdue Boilermakers. Obviously, number one, they won the basketball game against a quality opponent and a great defensive opponent in Tennessee. But also, if you're just looking at the box score, you look at Tennessee, 11 of 26 from three-point range, 42% above their seasonal average. You take a look at the Purdue Boilermakers, who were having a very good tournament from three-point range, shot 3 of 15 for only 20%. From the free throw line, got there 33 times, only made 63% as a team, and they still won this basketball game, which included them being down double digits right before the break. Let's just say Tennessee would have hung on for the final couple minutes of that first half and it was still a double-digit lead. That would have been really interesting to see how Purdue was going to come out for the second half. But they went into the lead, you know, sort of inflated as you take a look at Tennessee being deflated because, like, what just happened here? We had a 10-point. We could have extended that 10-point lead. Instead, we don't even have the lead at the break. But you saw what we've known all year long and, quite frankly, for the past couple years. Zach Edey is dominant. The thing I loved about Purdue is they know where their bread is buttered. Three-point shot not working late in the game. Just continuously throw it down to Edey. Good things are going to happen. Either he's going to convert or get to the free throw line or help somebody else get an easy bucket layup and or coming off crashing that, you know, opposite side of the rim, getting that rebound if he did miss here. Loved what I saw at Purdue. This is a team, Ben, that we trusted to get to the Final Four, and now they're in the Final Four, and they look really good right now. Even when not playing their best basketball, still able to beat top 10 teams like Tennessee. That's impressive.
Purdue is the best three-point shooting team in the nation. They averaged 41% from deep this year and have been sensational in the first three rounds of this big dance. They were 3 of 15 yesterday and still won by 6. Now, if you're a non-ball knower, you might have watched Zach Edey yesterday and said, that guy's tall. What are these refs calling? These are terrible foul calls. Please watch the game and understand the skill level that it takes, how he positions himself, and why Purdue runs their offense through the big 7-4 Edey. He forces officials to call those foul calls. And you can really not argue a lot of the fouls that were whistled yesterday. Oh, he's in the paint always for 3 seconds. No, he's not. He steps out and reestablishes. And he had a 40-point and 16-rebound performance. The first 40-point, 15-rebound, 60% field goal performance since 1968 when a legendary Houston Cougar, Elvin Hayes, did the same against Loyola Chicago. And Donnie, entering the game yesterday, Edey's points prop, 23.5. Connect's points prop, 21.5 for Tennessee. We expected both of the stars to step up on the most significant stage of the season, and they delivered. Connect, 37 of Tennessee's 66 points. Edey, 40 of Purdue, 72. The first time in NCAA tournament history on the men's side, we have seen two players combine to score 50% or more of their team's offensive production. And what a game it was yesterday in the Motor City.
It was great to watch. It was. And Dalton Kincaid was every bit as good as advertised yesterday in that game. 37 minutes, 14 of 31. You could just see the translation to the NBA game because most people say, well, Edie's going to go be a pro, but how effective can you be if you're not a step-out three-point shooting center like most people are now at this point? You take a look at Kincaid. His game is ready. The three-point shot, the down-low game, getting to the rim. He is the total package. It would have been nice to see him move on to get to the Final Four to get that ultimate praise. But quite frankly, Purdue was the better team yesterday, and Zach Edey was the better player over Dalton Kincaid. Now, shout out Dalton Kincaid, because late in that game, I did have a odds boost here from the FanDuel Sportsbook, which carried over from Saturday, which needed Tennessee just to stay within 9.5 points. And this was getting away late. But you know what my boy Kincaid did? Instead of jacking up three-point shots with a minute to go, he kept heading to the rim and getting layups. So fantastic stuff overall. He's a great player, but Purdue was just a better team yesterday.
The one time he did not get to the rim was when Zach Edey swatted his shot out of there for maybe what was his biggest play of the game, despite a 40-point performance on the offensive end. So the redemption tour continues for the Boilermakers, now to a Final Four for the first time in more than 40 years. Of course, last year, upset as a number one seed against a 16 seed in Fairleigh Dickinson. The only other time we had seen that in NCAA tournament history was Virginia in 2018. UVA won a national championship in 2019. Each and every step, Purdue has matched that right on track. Now the nightcap yesterday on Elite Eight Sunday. Not necessarily even a nightcap. Game tipped at 5 p.m. Eastern time. South regional final between the 4 seed in that portion of the bracket, Duke, and the 11 seed NC State. An all ACC affair. The rubber match between these two teams. The third game of the year. All three games coming in the last 3.5 weeks. And NC State takes it. And NC State will take their first trip to a Final Four since 1983. 76-64, the final. The Wolfpack have now won 9 straight games dating back to the start of the ACC tournament, in which they earned that automatic berth to the NCAA tournament. And they have covered in 7 of those 9 games. Each covered DRS outright as an underdog. The Wolfpack win outright yesterday as a 7.5-point dog behind 49 combined points from the man you see on your screen, DJ Burns Jr., and the other guy right there, DJ Horn for NC State.
Yeah, they were tremendous. That's what we need, a 1-2 punch, players stepping up in the biggest moments, which you saw DJ Burns Jr. do. However, on the opposite side, Filipowski fouled out earlier in that game in the second half. And the reason, he was really frustrated. Now, sometimes you take a look at games and how they progress, where the calls aren't going your way. He got fouled on a three-point shot, didn't get the call, sort of threw the basketball basically over the backboard when he got hacked on the elbow and it went up, and he didn't get that call. And then he got called for an offensive foul. So things weren't going his direction late in that game. But you can't take anything away from NC State. I don't know where this run, you know, was looking like it was going to come from. 5 straight days in 5 straight games in the ACC tournament and getting through them, playing great basketball in the NCAA tournament. Also, we talk about adversity. Purdue hit it in the first half and had the lead by the break. You take a look at Duke, who was terrible in the first half, goes, man, we got a 6-point lead still, even though we're not playing great basketball, and NC State only has 21 points. And then NC State kicks it into gear in the second half and drops 55 points. It was a fun basketball game to watch all the way through, but Duke just ran out of gas in that game, and NC State was the better team. Momentum continues into the Final Four for the Wolfpack now.
NC State wins outright as a 7.5-point dog. Total of 141.5 barely stays under. NC State has won all 4 games in the Big Dance. They won all 5 in the ACC tournament in D.C. You have seen the clip by now. Michael O'Connell banking one off the glass in the semifinal on a Friday night against Virginia after UVA missed a free throw to allow it. This NC State team was down at the half to an 8-24 Louisville team in the 10-15 game to open up the ACC tournament. When you find that magic and momentum in the month of March, it can carry over. 29 points from DJ Burns Jr., 20 points from DJ Horn yesterday, and the upset over Duke. Elite Eight Saturday night, a recap up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Elite Eight Saturday night, a recap here on the early line as well on a Monday morning. To look back on the weekend, that was the final weekend in the month of March, but the madness does not stop. 5 days away from Final Four Saturday in Phoenix. There is one word to describe Connecticut in the last two NCAA tournaments. It is dominance. I'm not sure that word even truly displays what we are seeing here or surmises what we have seen in the last two big dances for UConn. When you look at this Huskies team, DRS, there might not be a word in the English vocabulary to truly sum up what we are seeing in these 10 games, of course, last year, capping off with a national championship. In a Final Four or in a game for a Final Four spot, Connecticut wins by 25 points, 77-52 over Illinois. The one seed in the East region with a home floor type advantage in Boston hammers the Illini in the second half and goes on a 30-0 run from the final 2 minutes of the first half, well into the second as well. 25-point win for Dan Hurley's Huskies. They cover as an 8.5-point favorite.
And so many times you just look at the box score and say, how did this happen? Because you figured it'd be a close game. Why? UConn went 3 of 17 from the three-point line, which means they were probably taking too many three-point shots and forcing it up, and yet they still won by close to 30 points. It's outrageous how talented they are and how many different ways that they can beat you, which includes their own defense, by holding the most efficient, maybe the best offense in college basketball to 25% shooting as a team, which included 26% from three-point range. Superstars that were really getting what ever they wanted, like Terrence Shannon Jr., 2 of 12 from the field, only 8 total points in this game. It was dominant all the way through, but we were seeing things that we're not used to seeing, like UConn just going on an absolute tear and run to blow the doors off the building here and stretch out the Fighting Illini. I was saying to myself, like, if somebody's going to knock off UConn, it's got to be like a team like Illinois that goes, you know what, we don't care how good you are defensively or offensively, we have the best offense, we can take control of this game, which is what Illinois had been doing, and they were systematically dismantled, starting at the end of the first half, right through to the second half, for a 49-29 second half and an easy victory for UConn. Who stands in their way? Who's going to beat them? Doesn't look like anybody, but my goodness, if they are smashing teams like the Fighting Illini, good luck moving forward, even if it is Purdue and or NC State.
And Donnie, that's what we're talking about, right? You're trying to point to a style of play, to a team that follows that system somewhere in the big dance. Now, of course, only 4 teams remaining, but we've been doing that since the round of 64, since the start of this second weekend. Who plays that style? Is there a matchup advantage that one team in the tourney has to potentially even keep a game close against Connecticut? If they do, I'm not sure what it is, and I'm not sure which school that would be, even with the likes of Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers, or maybe DJ Burns Jr. or NC State. We'll talk about Alabama in just a moment, because 10 wins in the last two NCAA tournaments for Connecticut. They are a perfect 10-0 against the spread, covering by an average margin of 14 points per game. Think about that. They were an 8.5-point favorite against the Illini. They won by 25. So there's the expected outcome that Connecticut should win by double digits, and they're blowing the doors off of those numbers that the odds makers and the algorithms are setting as well. The average margin of victory in this NCAA tournament is 25.5 points per game. It is north of 23 points per game in the last two trips to the Big Dance. Pure dominance for Connecticut. It truly is unlike anything we have seen in quite some time. And Donnie, to think about what UConn has done in their hunt for a second consecutive national championship, trying to be the first repeat title winners in the NCAA tournament on the men's side since Florida accomplished that feat back in 2006 and 07. And this stat from our producer, Joe Friezo: UConn is the first team as a reigning champ to reach the Final Four. Only one other defending champion has even seen the second weekend in the Sweet 16. That was Duke back in 2016. To win again in a single elimination tournament described as madness speaks to the consistency, the dominance, and the success that has been sustained by Dan Hurley's Huskies.
And they got a deep bench. Like, they can do it so many different ways, as you pointed out. You want to focus just on defense? They're very good at that. You want to focus on offense? They can do it from all levels, down low, inside game, wing guys, three-point shooting. They have it all from multiple different positions, because it's not like, okay, you come into this basketball game, we have to shut a certain player down. Their entire starting five is extremely balanced. Now, even if you take a look at the previous game they played against the Illini, it didn't look all that impressive. 10 points, 22, no. 2, 5, 11. But then you saw the bench. You got a couple guys scoring double digits with Diarra coming off the bench. I mean, it was really fun to watch them play, but I kept finding myself to say, am I watching them versus like Stetson here in the second half? You should be able to run away with basketball games. Like, they ran away with it. It's just overall impressive where you say the Final Four is coming up. Who's going to knock them off? They're going to have a tough opponent in the Final Four and then another tough opponent in the final. And it doesn't seem like it even phases UConn. We talked about this on Selection Sunday. The minute we saw these teams going, like, my goodness, UConn. This is why I didn't pick UConn. The price point was factoring and UConn was the best team, but the six games that they would play would be incredibly tough here, and they're just dicing every single team they play. So we'll see what happens in the final. Change of venue, not on the East Coast. Maybe that makes a difference, but I think we're hoping and wishing somebody can give UConn a good game right now, as opposed to saying, you know what? They're just the best team. It doesn't matter where they play. They're going to smash their opponent.
Just keep it close. Stay within a number. Maybe even cover, even if Connecticut does win outright. We talked about the East region, how much of a gauntlet it was. The most difficult portion of the bracket by far. The top six seeds all ranked inside the top 18, according to Kenneth Pomeroy. The top four teams all in the top 10. And yet UConn made its way through with a relatively easy breeze. Maybe Auburn in the round of 16 would have been a tougher test than San Diego State, but you got to beat the smart kids in the Yale Bulldogs to even see that. Connecticut has been on a warpath, and they will continue to be. Nightcap on Elite Eight Saturday night out in Los Angeles, West Regional Final. Not the college football playoff, but the Elite Eight. Alabama versus Clemson. And for the first time in program history, the Crimson Tide have reached a Final Four. 89-82, the victory for Alabama over the Tigers. They win and cover as a 3.5-point favorite. And despite only 67 points combined, 35-32 at the halftime break, Alabama was in front despite trailing by double digits early in the opening half. We saw 104 points as the offense picked it up in the final 20 minutes to go over a pregame total of 163 and a hook.
Yeah, they really picked up in the second half. This is what we expected, a really fun game here. Clemson, again, attack of the ACC, just didn't have enough to take down the Alabama Crimson Tide, because you take a look at their scoring. We know they love to shoot the three-point shot. Shot 36 of them and went over their regular season average, shooting 44% as a team. That was impressive, which included Mark Sears, 7 of 14 from the three-point line. But it was a late surge by Clemson to try to get that back in them, which finished with Gerard III, 5 out of 10 from three-point range and 19 points. So I hit myself a little parlay in that game. But this was one of the games that you anticipated coming into, saying, what are we actually going to get out of Clemson? Almost the same feeling that you get at NC State. Because for me, Clemson was a better team regular season-wise than NC State was. But it's like, okay, who are their superstars? It's just a balanced attack. They can get clutch three-point shooting. They can get that down-low presence here. And they got it all in that game, but they just couldn't match up. This was the theory coming in against Alabama in the SEC tournament and then into March. Man, it's like, we expect one of those down performances by Alabama where they just don't show up and clank, you know, shoot 43s and make 7 of them and go away. Now they're in the Final Four here. They are a fun team to watch, and we have an awesome, even if the odds makers don't think so, I can't wait to handicap this UConn Alabama game as we head into the Final Four. It's supposed to be a blow up, but the ultimate equalizer, Ben, I always say, if you're going to be an underdog, you better fire from 3-point range, and if you can make your average or more, you should be able to cover. Good times ahead here in the Final Four, but a great win by Alabama.
Listen, UConn doesn't make it easy to shoot from three, but we'll talk about that in the coming days, in the 5 days until we get to Final Four Saturday night out in Phoenix. We'll take an early look at those early lines here on the early line in our second hour. But when you think about what Alabama did to Clemson, a good Tigers defense, but does allow you to shoot the three if you want it. Mm-hmm. And believe me, Alabama wants it and needs it from three. 62 field goal attempts for Alabama as a team. 36 coming from three-point range. 52% of their shots on Saturday came from deep. They shoot about 47% of their overall field goal attempts this year from three-point range. And Mark Sears, the outstanding Alabama guard, started the game 0 of 6 from deep. He finished making 7 of his final 8 triples for a game-high 23 points. The Crimson Tide can score. Third most efficient offense in the country, the highest scoring team in college basketball at better than 90 points per game. They're not great defensively. They're outside of the top 100 in KenPom, but they have done enough here in the NCAA tournament to see their first Final Four in program history. And a shout out to Nate Oates here in this spot, because he has orchestrated Alabama to 4 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances in their first ever Final Four. 111 years for the men's basketball program, DRS, for the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. Now, the Big Dance hasn't been around for all 111 years, but for Alabama to reach its first Final Four, a historic weekend for the Tide.
Certainly. Some saying now it's a basketball school and not a football school and a basketball conference, not a football conference is what I'm hearing out here. But also credit the Alabama Crimson Tide, because they really attacked the transfer portal, and look where it's found them here. Some schools out there, oh, we're going to grow them within and we're going to teach them the program. Nonsense here. Get the best players there. Great coaches will make them assimilate on the court. That was fantastic stuff out of Alabama. Looking forward to the next round in the Final Four.
Those live three-point props, when Alabama is playing in a college hoops game, they're a lot of fun. Ooh. And a lot of profits await around the association. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're in the home stretch of this NBA season. About 8 games left for pretty much every team, all 30 around the association. Every team has played at least 74 games, a few more than that. So here we are with just a few weeks left to start off the month of April before the NBA postseason even begins. First, of course, it will be the play-in tournament, 7 versus 8. 9 versus 10 in each conference to take those final 2 spots in the overall playoffs. The top 6 teams in each portion of this league already go to the NBA postseason. So, DRS, let's reset here. Look at the NBA title odds and where things stand at this moment. The Boston Celtics already less than a $2 price, plus 190 for the C's. They have already clinched the number 1 overall seed in the Eastern Conference. They have 58 wins. They are 58 and 16. Both Denver and OKC now 52 wins, but that's off by 6 in that win column. The Nuggets currently in the second spot of the Western Conference standings, but the reigning NBA champs have that second best price at plus 330 to win an NBA championship. You can see that tier of 2 before we drop off to the Clippers and the Bucks, both at 7-1, and then a large drop off from there, double the price to get to the Oklahoma City Thunder at 14-1, nearly double that number, DRS, to see the Timberwolves at a 27-1 price.
Yeah, you're trying to take a look at, you know, what sort of value you can still extract out of the top 2 teams with the Celtics and Nuggets. There isn't much here. But quite frankly, if you're saying, again, forget about the price points here, who do you think's going to wind up in the NBA Finals for me, Ben? It's pretty simple. It's the Celtics and the Nuggets. And then there's that shelf, as we point out, between the Clippers, Bucks, you know, OKC, Minnesota. We'll see where they factor in. There are some interesting things here, because a couple key bits of information, Ben, came out over the weekend. Eastern Conference-wise, Philadelphia 76ers, the pictures of Joel Embiid, probably expected to be back tomorrow. So getting a couple games in and getting ramped up for the playoffs. That's why you see that number shrinking. It was around 40-1, over 40-1, about, let's just say, a week ago when the Sixers looked dreadful and there wasn't that much information on Joel Embiid. He now comes down to 31-1. I do think that's appropriate, because you're getting back an MVP level. But also, take away, the Knicks took a tough loss yesterday. And after the game, Josh Hart was basically saying, we actually don't think we're getting Randall and or Anobi back here at all for the season, which was interesting to bring up, because that was one of the teams that were factoring in going, boy, these bench guys are getting major minutes here. This team is going to be exciting once they get to the playoffs with some starters back. And now we don't know if both or even end or one of them won't come back for the playoff run. So that's devastating news here for the Knicks, who dropped back to 36-1 with that type of information. But just getting back to the top of the standings, if Denver has home court advantage in the Western Conference and the Boston Celtics home court advantage in the Eastern Conference, it's appropriate. Those two teams are unbelievable at home, and they probably will will wind up in the NBA Finals. Now, it was interesting for me to see opening, say, you know what, if we're focusing on Major League Baseball this weekend and NCAA action more than not, you look at the standings and you know what? Oh, what does the Denver Nuggets have, a two-game lead over OKC? No, they don't. Technically, right now, yeah. OKC is the top seed in the Western Conference by a half game. So they're still hanging in here, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. 52-22 for OKC. Mm-hmm. Denver 52-23. One more loss, one more game played for the Nuggets this year. And the reason for it, Denver dropped two straight before a big victory at home yesterday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll look at the recap from yesterday's action and what it means for these final few weeks in the NBA season in just a moment. But when we look at the NBA MVP odds, Nikola Jokic still out in front, minus 700 to win the NBA MVP award, despite what Luka Doncic has done in this stretch run for Dallas. 42 points yesterday for the Mavs, who have won seven straight and snapped that 11-game win streak for the Houston Rockets. Despite the historic numbers that Luka Doncic has put up at points throughout this NBA season, it seems as though the Joker is going to win his third NBA MVP award in the last four seasons.
It does, but again, keep in mind the FanDuel Sportsbook does not count the ballots nor votes on this process right here, so it's based on betting numbers that were coming in. And also, Luka's been outrageous, and the fact that the gap is getting longer now, which is really sensational, like Jokic at a minus 700 price at this point. It wasn't too long ago, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Ben, we were talking, hey, look at that, plus 240, plus 250 to hang around. He's now at 25-1, and Jason Tatum, who was floating around those numbers between 30-40-1, back to 100-1, the same thing with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it looks like Nikola Jokic is factored in. Really, once Embiid got injured, it was like, okay, nobody else is really going to challenge him, even though Luka was putting up historic numbers and we should be neck and neck. It's just not the same thing. We're recognized that Jokic is the best player right now in basketball and maybe the most important to his team, and therefore running away with that MVP race.
Yeah, and it's hard to argue when you look at the stats and the numbers that Nikola Jokic continues to put up as well, including yesterday in a 29-point home victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have Donovan Mitchell back and are fully healthy for this stretch run, and yet came nowhere close yesterday at altitude. The Nugs win by 29. They easily cover as a 4.5-point favorite. They had dropped two straight entering yesterday's game at home, so a big victory for Denver, who has now won five of their last seven. They're 16-4 are the Nuggets DRS since the All-Star break. And Nikola Jokic yesterday, 26 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. A big win for Denver, but still trailing Oklahoma City by a half game for that top spot in the Western Conference. Both OKC and Denver won yesterday, though, to at least clinch a playoff berth.
And you take a look at the Denver Nuggets game, right? And yes, we're always going to focus on Jokic. Those are ridiculous numbers that we're desensitized to because it seems like he does it every single night. We look at the starting lineup last night, once again, missing a superstar in Jamal Williams and still able to crush the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had their superstar in the lineup. Donovan Mitchell didn't play all that well. 31 minutes, 3 of 12 from the floor, which is only 13 points and a league worst, or it's going to say a team worst, minus 27 on the court. But this is what we talk about, 30-8 on your home court for the Denver Nuggets. It's a battle. If you want to beat the Nuggets, you better not give them 4-3 on their home court. And it looks like they're on cruise control right now, a half game back of OKC to try to hang in there. And if we're taking a look at teams with pedigree who know how to close the gap, it's the Denver Nuggets here. They're probably still going to wind up with that number one seed, even though they sit a half game back here with roughly a dozen games to play.
And that's really the key here, because in this stretch with just a few more weeks and actually less than 10 games remaining here in this NBA season, a half game might not seem like a lot, but when you only have 7 or 8 remaining in this NBA year, that's a decent amount of ground to make up. Of course, it could fluctuate based on one performance, but Oklahoma City, despite kind of struggling to cover numbers as of late, keeps winning basketball games. They've won 7 of their last 10, including a thriller yesterday inside Madison Square Garden. The Knicks were up by 10 entering the fourth and final quarter, and then we went back and forth at the end. OKC up by 1. 5 seconds left. Under 5 seconds, Jalen Brunson hits the shot to put New York up 112-111. And then quickly, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who only had 19 points yesterday, which is a rarity to be under 30, let alone under 20 points, hits the game winner with 2 seconds remaining inside Madison Square Garden, a 19-foot jumper. Gives Oklahoma City the win, 113-112, clinches a playoff berth for the Thunder, and at the moment, Oklahoma City sits with that number one overall seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah, unlimited range here for the New York Knicks. I guess you're a bench player. You're loving this. Endor, Brunson, 4 of 11 from 3-point range. McBride, 4 of 10 from 3-point range. Dante DiVincenzo, 4 of 16 from 3-point range. It just astounds me that they even hang around in ball games, because it's basically Brunson and a couple pieces to the puzzle here that aren't necessarily very good pieces. But that's a great win for OKC, who, again, as we've pointed out, still stays a half game ahead of the Denver Nuggets in the race for the Western Conference top seed overall. But that's a tough loss for the Knicks last night. Some questionable calls by the ref. Should have been an N1 at the one end for Jalen Brunson. Didn't turn out that way. Jumper at the end, ending for OKC with a victory. Look, the Knicks are going to be in the playoffs here. OKC is battling for a little bit more, so that's a really good win for OKC because of the stakes that are in place for them to get the number one overall seed.
Listen, Oklahoma City was one of the best covered teams in the NBA, the best covered team for a good majority of this year. They've fallen off pace with the Orlando Magic, still one of the 5 best ATS teams in the association. Yesterday actually laid 2 on the road, a road favorite in Madison Square Garden because the Knickerbockers continue to be shorthanded. Oklahoma City, though, has still won 10 of their last 13 games. They just only covered 4 times in that span. Total yesterday of 218.5 does push to the over. So a big game from the standings perspective. Western Conference side, of course, OKC now sits in first. The New York Knicks, though, Donnie, still in that 4th spot out east, a half game behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have the 3rd spot. The Knicks trying to hold on to at least host the opening round of the playoffs. They have a full game advantage over the Orlando Magic. The Magic sit in that 5th seed right now, currently in the Eastern Conference.
And I'm impressed by the Knicks. I really am. You take a look at their record, 44-30 overall, 7-3 in their last 10, which again includes not having starters here. It's sort of a crutch you could rely on because the Sixers used that. And by the way, the Sixers picked up a victory yesterday without Maxey, and it shows you just how bad the Toronto Raptors actually are. We can go and win by double digits without anybody basically in the lineup outside of Kelly Oubre. But you're looking at the Knicks themselves. And again, I keep on talking about, what does this lineup have to offer? Yes, Josh Hart's a glue guy out here. Brunson's a very good player, but everybody else just average to below average NBA players getting their chance to shine here. And that is what I was talking about heading into the playoffs with the New York Knicks. If we could just get that true starting lineup back, what they could actually do. We're saying they could beat the Celtics. No, but who says they can't take down the Milwaukee Bucks at that point? Who says they can't advance 2 or 3 rounds into the playoffs here? I don't think we're going to get that opportunity based on the information yesterday, but salute to them sitting in that 4 seed, possibly moving up to the 3 seed with basically just Brunson in the lineup.
One streak snapped yesterday in Texas. One streak survived. Dallas has now won 7 in a row, snapping the Rockets' 11-game win streak as the Mavericks go into H-Town yesterday and win by 18, 125-107. Donnie has shared the stats for Luka Doncic, 47 points, 12 boards, 7 dimes. Yesterday, Kyrie Irving pours in 24. Luka and Kyrie combined for 71 of the Mavericks, 125 points in total as the Mavs end the 11-game win streak for the Rockets. But theirs is now at 7, and Dallas currently owns the 5th spot in the Western Conference because of this win streak, out of the play-in, and maybe pretty close to hosting a playoff series, depending on these final few games of the NBA campaign.
Yeah, we need star power. That's what we need here. And if you're going to get Luka Doncic heading into the playoffs as maybe the best basketball player on the planet, maybe not season-long, this is where we're going to get credit for Nikola Jokic, but just right now, even with that monster performance yesterday that we saw from the big man, you take a look at Doncic, 18 of 30, 9 of 16 from three-point range, 12. What doesn't he do? 47 points. Then you say, well, what did Kyrie do? Only 24, 9 of 18 from the floor. So if you're going to get 47 and 24 from those two guys, they are going to be a fun team to watch in the playoffs. The Dallas Mavericks, one of those teams that it's not my team per se, but boy, I would love to see them in the Western Conference playoffs doing damage. We love to watch the superstars rise to the occasion, and Luka can do that in the playoffs. He could drop 47 points and possibly have a triple double like that. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, there will be some seed shuffling in the Western Conference standings over these final few weeks of the NBA season, but those 7 teams often seem solidified. By the way, Dallas has won 7 straight. In 11 of their last 12, they have covered in 11 of those 12 games. The Mavericks, a 3.5-point, 4-point road favorite yesterday in Houston. So a crucial loss for the Rockets, and the Dubs have now won 4 straight. So a 2-game difference there for that 10th and final spot in the Western Conference postseason, that last spot in the play-in tournament. The Lakers in front. LeBron hit a career-high 9 threes yesterday. Career best in his 21st season in the NBA. That is insane. Women's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on this first day of April. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We round out this opening hour. Elite Eight Sunday, not only in the men's NCAA tournament, but the women's big dance as well. What a game it was to start things off in Albany yesterday. South Carolina continues their dominance. A perfect 36-0 this year. 36 games, 36 wins for Dawn Staley's Gamecocks. 70-58 yesterday over Oregon State. Now, South Carolina was a 15.5-point favorite. Oregon State does cover that number, but South Carolina is back into the Final Four once again.
It's amazing that you can have a team that's undefeated and perfect at this point that has had a championship pedigree over the past couple years and say like they're unheralded at this point and maybe not thought of. They're 36-0. We know we talk about, hey, Paige Buckets from UConn here. Boy, what about that Iowa team matching up against LSU? It's almost like South Carolina is the best team in the country, completely forgotten and just doing damage here along the way, going like, hey, guys, we're in the Final Four as well. We're heading toward it at this point. It's amazing to watch this play out because I love South Carolina as a team. They do everything, and they are deep, and they have a bench here, as opposed to that true superstar that sticks out of the person that we see so most likely here on some of the highlight shows. Shout out to South Carolina, just going about their business, hammering teams on the way to possibly another championship under Dawn Staley.
4 straight seasons in the Final Four for the Gamecocks. The second consecutive year they have reached the Final Four with a perfect 36-0 record. Last year they came up against Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa knocking off South Carolina. That is their only loss in their previous 73 games. That is insane. In the other game, NC State, the Wolfpack continues the dance into the Final Four. The first time since 2016 that a men's and women's college basketball program, that was Syracuse back then, have made the Final Four in the same season. The Pack knocked off the one seed in Portland Region 4, Texas, 76-66, winning outright as a 4.5-point dog. Opening weekend of MLB when Hour 2 starts in 55 seconds.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.